Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Welcome to this Sunday morning. I hope you're up. You put the dogs out. You shook off the cobwebs, had that cup of coffee. And like I tell you every week, get ready. If you're old school like me, grab a pen and a piece of paper and take some notes. If you're new school like my co-host Aaron Mills, millennial, get your thumbs ready on your device and take some notes. And the notes that you're going to take are the things that you're going to do differently as a result of the time you spend listening to this program today. Because we're going to give you some good advice, some career tips. And I have a guest today that's going to wow you and give you something to think about that you didn't think you were going to think about this Sunday morning. Now, this past week, it's been rough, boy. We had a terrible hurricane, Hurricane Michael, that hit the west coast of Florida, and it was rough. And our thoughts and prayers go out to all those people that are still recovering, and they will be for quite some time. And I'm going to bring it home to 904 Jacksonville right now. My wife, years back, survived Hurricane Hugo. And she has a real tough memory of that. The storm's going outside. It sounds like a freight train, but she wants to take a look and walk outside for a second and see what's happening. Well, she opened the door, and the door blew off the hinges, never to be seen again. The door's gone. So she's scared, runs in the house. Luckily, she didn't get hurt or get sucked out and blown away herself. But that memory is what puts me through holy heck every time a storm comes anywhere near us. And I want to go through, I'm a big preparedness guy. Every day I say you have to have a plan for your day and you have to work your plan each and every single day. Well, hurricane preparedness is important to me and to my household. And if you listen to past shows, we make sure your businesses are ready because business continuity is very important. Your business has to continue being in business pre and post hurricane. You have to prepare for it. And for a lot of people that are in the construction industry, post hurricane, your business is going to take off. All you fence installers, your roofers, your framers, whatever construction you're in, you're going to need project estimators. You're going to need workers. You don't want to be 6 months in the row where you had explosive growth, but 6 months down the road, you're dealing with a shoebox full of receipts because you didn't plan properly for it, or you didn't have people to answer your phone when people that need you are calling. Your insurance companies know that you need claims adjusters, you need processors, you need customer service reps. You can't let your phones go unanswered either. So people have to be prepared for the disaster and have to be prepared for what comes after it as well. But in my household this week, keep in mind the hurricane's way west of us. We got some wind, right? We got some wind, a little bit of wind. That's about it, Aaron, right? That's all. We got a little wind, a little bit of rain here and there. But what we did in the Langlois household, and I want everybody to hear this, okay? I got the generator out, okay? I live on the intercoastal, and I have a small dinghy, and I have a larger deck boat. I had to take the dinghy out of the water, and I had to secure the dinghy down. Okay, hurricane winds hit it, that thing is going nowhere because it's grounded, strapped to the ground. I had to strap my other boat, my larger deck boat, in down so it can't blow away or lift up or do any sway. So I had to strap that down. Had my generator out. I had cords going to the house, every room. I got a big generator and a small generator. I had them both out, ready to go. I even have two electric generators that are all charged up so that every device in my house is going to be operational for if we lost power for 3 weeks. You can come to my house and I'm going to help you out because I am prepared. We made sure both of our cars were full of gas. Not only that, I have two separate 3-gallon gas tanks that I have. I have both of those filled. I test drove the generator, made sure it worked. We have batteries in anything that ever needed batteries in my house has a battery in it. Okay, we were so, so prepared. And I'm glad Jacksonville has a tendency to dodge the bullet, whether it comes from the east or it comes from the west. We are in a good spot. You know, it's threatening, it's threatening, it's threatening, but then it moves on. Guys, what I'm telling you now is hurricanes are nothing to mess around with. They are catastrophic events, and you have to be prepared. And I'm telling you, even though this one missed us, you have to be ready because you don't want to be the person that's not ready, without power, relying on neighbors or others. And if you ever get the order to evacuate, doggone it, get the heck out of Dodge and do it sooner rather than later. Aaron, and your family, how did you prepare for the hurricane?
Sure. So I have very high anxiety when it comes to hurricanes and storms, only because, 2 years ago when Hurricane Matthew came, everybody was so calm and they're like, oh, it's fine. And like, I can see the pine trees outside swaying and going crazy. And the next thing I knew, I was laying on the couch about to fall asleep because I can't sleep in my room with all the wind. It just freaks me out. And then a tree falls on our roof.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And so
Did it break through the roof?
I mean, it was a little branch sticking through. The rain was pouring in. It was hectic. So I definitely have high anxiety when it comes to hurricanes. And I think I'm with Angie. I'd rather be fully prepared and make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row, I guess would be the idiom. I'm so good at those. And I just want to make sure that everything is in line before I can just sleep well at night.
Well, we survived it. And again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the folks out west and up in Georgia and beyond, because Hurricane Michael was something else.
Yeah, it was crazy.
All right, guys. I told you just a bit ago that we have a great guest today, and we sure do. Our guest is Lieutenant Jason Clements of the United States Navy, and he's a recruiter for officer programs here, and he's with the Navy Recruiting District of Jacksonville. And first off, Lieutenant, I want to thank you for your service and welcome you to Hard Worker.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're here. Now, you've had an interesting career journey with the Navy. If you would, tell me, you know, what got you to go into the Navy even in the first place?
So I grew up in a Navy town over in Pensacola, Florida. There's a couple of large installations, Whiting Field and AS Pensacola, among a few. And my father was a retired master chief in the Navy.
All right. So, you ate your peas, right?
I did. It was kind of predestined. So I enlisted in the Navy immediately out of high school. Did 6 years with the United States Navy Seabees. After that point in time, I decided it was time to get out, go to college. Took a little bit of a break in between and started a family, started a career, and felt like there was more that I could do. So I recommissioned into the Navy back in 2010 as an officer.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Now, a lot of you know my career journey. I spent 7 years in the Navy, and I went from E1 up to E5. I was a second-class petty officer. I was a jet engine mechanic, and I owe so much to my Navy experience. Taught me a sense of mission, unquestioned reliability, attention to detail. I mean, these are some things that I knew. I knew what a good leader was, and I understood what a good leader wasn't, too. I mean, I became a different person as a result of the Navy. So, you know, I just think it's wonderful, too. And when you got out, how was your college paid for? Did you pay for that yourself, or was there a program that, while you were in the Navy, helped pay for your college?
No, absolutely. It was the GI Bill, which has changed forms over the years. It's even better now than it was when I was able to take advantage of it. Without the GI Bill, without the Navy, I never would have had the opportunity to go to college.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow. And how is that? Can you explain a little bit about the GI Bill?
Sure. So the GI Bill, as it currently is called, is the post-9/11 GI Bill. It allows people to go to college. Mm-hmm. Your tuition and books are paid for, and you also receive a stipend for your housing through the entire time you're there as an E5.
Wow.
And it pretty much covers everything that you want to go to, any college that you want to go through. Mm-hmm. It'll cover the 4 years. It'll cover everything. It's an amazing program. It gives a lot of people a lot of opportunities that they otherwise might not have had, just as my case.
Right. You know, when I was in high school, I did well enough in high school, but college wasn't an option for me. And I enlisted. And while I was in, I attended night school, weekends. And, you know, the Navy paid, while I was in, 75% of my tuition while I was in. As long as I kept a C average or better, I paid the 25%, which I thought was fair. You know what I mean? You got to have a little skin in the game. Mm-hmm. And I also paid for my books. And when I graduated from college, I had zero student loan debt. Zero.
Isn't that amazing? I feel like so I was also a scholarship kid. It wasn't through the Navy, but I did have a full scholarship to UF. And I know you're a Seminole.
That's right. We won't hold it against you.
Yeah, it's okay. And I will say that going through school and having a scholarship, you're just able to focus on those studies 100% better than you are when you have to worry about the finances and where they're coming through, and also trying to manage your time with going to a second job and you know, trying to do that alongside studies to pay for school. And so I will say that, you know, having a scholarship and having everything paid for definitely lifts the burden off your shoulders so that you can focus and get that degree that you want.
And the other side of the GI Bill is you have the VA support. There's a support staff at every college least very nearby a college that can help you walk through that daunting task of getting involved in college and getting started. And once you're in the groove, everything works really smoothly. But a lot of times it's a little intimidating for people to get started. So not only do you have the GI Bill to help you financially, there's a support staff there as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Right. I wish I had that.
And I know when I went like I said, I worked full time and then I was going at nights, weekends, but I was a more mature student than maybe your typical 18-year-old that kind of just jumps into the fray and might get distracted, let's just say, a little bit. I couldn't. I was glued to it, and I made sure I got my grades because I had to get that paid for. Can you explain for folks, what are some of the great things about being in the Navy? For me, I had a sense of I wanted to protect the country. I wanted to protect our freedoms, and it felt good to put the uniform on and to just be there serving others. Mm-hmm. What's some of the good things about being in the Navy now?
That's a pretty long list. for me personally, it was, as you said, it's service to country. That's a driving factor. Again, based on my background, growing up in a Navy town with a Navy family, a large majority of the people in my family have joined the military.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big driving force as well. But there's also, again, the educational benefits that we just spoke about. The income is comparable to what you would receive on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
The major difference there is you get on the job training that you don't typically get when you're in a civilian sector.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's hard to get a job. You get stuck in that do loop of, I don't have enough experience to get the job, but I can't get the job and get the experience so that I can get the job. You know, it's something that you don't necessarily deal with the Navy.
As a career coach and someone that's run staffing companies for many years, I know that loop, and I see that happen quite a bit. There are few, it's few and far between when the employer says, come to me, I'm going to train you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you skills that you don't have, and yet I'm going to pay you, you know, while you're there.
Yeah.
The military, you know, right now, you're a reservist, right? You have a full-time job outside of the military. Is that correct?
Normally, I'm actually on a recall right now, voluntary recall, to become a recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, yes, it is a part-time job. That's generally the easiest way to describe the reserves. It's the, you know, you always hear on the radio stations and the commercials on TV, you get the 1 week in a month and 2 weeks a year, and there you go. That's the reserves. It's become a lot more than that these days. We're very involved and very comparable to the active duty component.
Mm-hmm.
But there are opportunities if you just want to do the 1 week in a month and then 2 weeks a year. That's the way a lot of people go. But there's also a lot of opportunity if you want to do more.
Right.
So a lot of people who are looking for supplemental income and just the chance to do more.
Right.
Those opportunities are there as well.
You know, when you think about our listeners right now, they're the workforce. Nobody listens to this show that is a trust fund baby sitting on a pile of $100 bills, just counting them up, lighting them up. They're the workforce right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people, you know, they're considering what their career journey is because it's a journey, not a destination. We didn't, you know, at 12 years old say, hey, I want to run a staffing company. I've gone in a lot of different directions to end up right here where I'm at. It is a journey. So people are always considering what's the next turn? What's my next thing? And I want people to strongly consider the United States Navy and being a Navy officer. What credentials do you need to be an officer?
How do I get
in the
into
Navy?
It?
So, minimally speaking, you have to be a United States citizen to be an officer. And I'm gonna step back real quick and make some differentiations real quick because a lot of people listening may not know a lot about the military.
Mm-hmm.
There's an enlisted side, and then there's an officer side.
Mm-hmm.
The officer side, I guess, would be most aptly described as kind of the management side. We're the ones that take care of the paperwork and take care of the people so that the enlisted guys can do their jobs. We get all the impediments out of the way. We take care of them so they can do the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, as far as being an officer, again, basic qualifications are a college degree, United States citizen, and then you get into areas where you have to be competitive. So depending on which program you choose, whether you're going to be a surface warfare officer or a submarine warfare officer or intel officer, and the list goes on and on, nuclear engineer officer, medical, dental, nurses, depending on what path you choose, your requirements vary slightly, but the basic eligibility requirements are the same for everyone.
Yeah, I'm glad you kind of made some distinctions there. And you also said, I hope everybody hears the range of opportunities within the military, okay, within the Navy. It's not, you know, not everybody, is going to carry a gun and, I'm a soldier. You know, I don't know what people's perception is of the military, but you have everything, all kinds of career choices. We have doctors, we have lawyers, we have all of it. I mean, you go your career choices, and again, people come to you with the degree. Okay, I want to be an officer in the military. I'm a U.S. citizen. I have a degree. Then what? Do they reach out to you? What's the next step, and how can they get some more information, kind of learn about the programs?
Sure. Yeah, the best option is to contact your local recruiter. If you want a little more information, you can go to www.navy.com, and it opens up the world, and there's a lot of options in there and places that you can search around and figure out what you want to do. But if you contact a Navy recruiter, they're the best source for the answers and the best source of guidance to help you kind of navigate where you want to go.
Right. You know, some ancillary benefits I'll tell you about being in the military, and a seven-year veteran like I was. I've been all around the world. I mean, I have been everywhere. I'm a shellback, they call it, when you cross the equator. I've been to Barcelona, Spain, Palma Nova, Spain, when it's vacation time, and it was so much fun. I did cliff diving out that way. I skied in the Alps, the Italian Alps, when we went up to Trieste, Italy. I've been to Haifa, Israel. I went through the ditch, as we call it, and went to Diego Garcia. I've been all around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little bit older guy. The aircraft that I supported decommissioned, and my ship, the USS Saratoga, is going to be a museum, I believe, pretty soon. But I made lifelong friendships, and I saw things. I've just seen so many wonderful things, and, that still happens in the Navy, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I just want to back up and reiterate something you said about the opportunities. I, like you, started out as an E1, did my time, got out, went to college, came back in as an officer. So you can truly start from the bottom. You can go all the way to the top. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you recall Admiral Borda back in the 90s.
I do.
He started the Seaman to Admiral program. That's one of the commissioning programs that allows people to come in as enlisted sailors. Those who don't necessarily have the opportunity or the financial wherewithal to go to college straight out of high school and make it all the way to the top. I mean, he went from E1 to an admiral.
Wow.
So those opportunities are out there, and they're so wide and varied. You mentioned a lot of things that you've done, the Saratoga things. I've never been on a ship. I'm in the Navy. I've never been on a ship except as a tour.
Yeah.
I've been on a couple of those museums you talked about.
Right.
But I'm affectionately what we refer to as a dirt sailor. So
the brown shoe.
It just is an example of all the opportunities and the wide variety of those opportunities. A lot of people are not realizing that they're out there. Mm-hmm. So if you stop by and you see a recruiter like myself, we can explain those things to you, show you some of those opportunities that you might not have otherwise known about.
Right. You know, my grandfather was in the Navy, and English was a second language. Je m'appelle Langlois. My last name's Langlois, if we're going to say it properly. And we spoke French before we spoke English. We're a little. But my grandfather was in, spent 2 years. He was a cook in the military back in the day. My father was a weatherman. I forget what the rating was called, but he spent 4 years in the military as well, which encouraged me to be third generation Navy. But it's a wide variety of career choice, is what I'm saying. Just in the Langlois family, we all did different things. So
here's a question. Let's say somebody does put in an application. How long until they get contacted again, and how long until they actually enlist? I don't know if that's the term, but, are actually at that path to start everything?
So my answer to everybody on that one is it depends.
Yeah.
Typically, we like to have responses to online applications within 72 hours.
Okay.
Sometimes it takes a little longer than that. So if you don't get a call back immediately, don't be discouraged. But depending on the program somebody applies for, there are different requirements. Some are more rigorous. Again, the nuclear program is much more rigorous.
Yeah.
surface warfare or pilot, some of those things. It can be as little as 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
It can be as much as a year.
Yeah.
Sometimes longer. Sometimes people don't get accepted the first time around, and they reapply, so it takes a little bit longer. Or sometimes there are medical issues that have to be overcome, and it takes a little while for those to be clarified and taken care of.
Got it. And another question. I know my husband was interested in becoming part of the Marines, but he also wears glasses. Is that something that, you know, is typical? Because I don't have the best eyesight. How am I supposed to, you know, see a ship from afar?
Sure. So there are a few areas where vision is critical, pilot being the number one,
yeah.
Right? Obviously, if you don't have correctable to 20/20 or 20/20 vision, it's going to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But most other programs, the only other vision issue you would have to deal with would be possibly color blindness.
Oh,
and that
yes.
restricts you from certain programs. Mm-hmm. But most people with vision issues don't have any problem getting into the Navy.
Here's one question I want to ask, because, you know, again, career's a journey, it's not a destination. We end up here when you were, you know, younger. Maybe you didn't say, I want to be an engineer and I want to be an officer or recruiter in the Navy. What would you tell, if you could go back in time, your 20-year-old self that's kind of thinking about, you know, what I'm going to do, or even maybe 18, 17, even high school age, your younger self? Here's future Lieutenant Clements reaching back to young Jason Clements. What would you tell him?
You know, I thought long and hard about this. I actually asked a friend of mine what he thought when you proposed that question to me the other day when we spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the first thing I'd say is nobody's a self-made man. There's mm-hmm. always somebody there who's helping you out and helping mm-hmm. you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation would be to anyone, pay attention to what you're doing. Listen to those people.
Mm-hmm.
Do the best you can and just understand that every decision that you make today will affect every decision that you make in the future.
That is fantastic.
Said.
And
Very
then when
well
you
said.
You know, when a door closes, it's not the end of the world, too, because
yeah.
it's just part of the journey. All right. Now, Aaron, I can see you're sitting on a question right now. Yeah, me raising her hand, waving, flagging me down. What do you got?
Okay. So, burning question that everybody probably wants to know who's interested so far is, on the officer side, do I have to run?
Run? Like
cardio. Like, I need to know if I need to run a mile because, you know, I'm not there yet.
I think I know the answer to this one, Lieutenant, but go ahead.
Well, actually, you don't have to run a mile. You have to run a mile and a half.
Oh, God. Help
so
me.
We do that twice a year as part of our PFA, which is our physical fitness assessments. There are minimum standards that you have to meet, but in addition to the running, you have to do push-ups and sit-ups as well.
My. Well, I guess I could do that now since my baby is almost 20 pounds. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I bet you can move around a little. Lieutenant Clements, I'm going to want to have you back as a recurring guest because I want to get into some of the more detail into some mm-hmm. of the programs that the Navy offers folks. But, you know, tell us a little bit more, and please provide contact information mm-hmm. and information about how people can get in touch with you or perhaps, your recruiting command.
Sure. So, as I mentioned before, if you go to www.mynavy.com,
mm-hmm.
there's an avenue there for you to fill out paperwork, and you can send in your information, and that'll automatically get sent to Big Navy, and they'll kind of route through where you need to be assigned, and they'll mm-hmm. push you down, and we get a list of all the online applications, and then we kind of divvy those up to the appropriate person who would handle whatever program you tell us you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we kind of talk to you, try and bring you into the office, get to know you a little more about what you're looking for, and try and find an opportunity that's applicable for your desires. You can also reach me directly. My email address is jason.clements@navy.mil. You can also call me. My phone number is 904-524-4785.
All right, hard workers. Lieutenant Clements, thank you so much for coming out and spending your Sunday morning with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Glad Woo-hoo. To have you. Something to think about, everybody. Okay, that music tells us it's the bottom of the hour. We need to take a break. You're listening to 104.5. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Man, what a great first segment we had with Lieutenant Jason Clements of the United States Navy, giving us all something to think about. Maybe when you got up this morning, you didn't think, should I join the U.S. Navy? Right? There are so many different options. We couldn't possibly cram it all into one show. So we're going to have him back multiple times and talk about the different programs the Navy has to offer mm-hmm. people. And I'm really excited about it. Okay, what I'm also excited about, hard workers, is this time in the show. This is where we have leadership lessons from Coach Larry. It is one of my favorite. You know what, Aaron? Aaron, it's my favorite part of the whole show. My favorite part.
Ow.
With that, let's go to leadership lessons with Coach Larry.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Aaron. Have you ever walked by a Direct Report's desk and they're on the internet or on Amazon, ESPN, social media, or whatever? I know I have. It drives me crazy. I wonder, why are they giving their time to the Kardashians and not to the company? Well, today we have a letter from someone who is experiencing this, and I will share with you some tips to get people to give their discretionary effort to the company and not the Kardashians. So here's the letter. Dear Coach Larry, I have a talented employee who does great work. The problem is that it's becoming more often that when I try to assign her a task or a project, she says that she's too busy and doesn't have the time. But I know that she is spending time either on the internet or on the phone doing personal stuff. What should I do? Signed, Pete Langlois. Kidding, it's signed, Perturbed Pete. So I say it often. We teach other people how to treat us through our actions and our non-actions. You absolutely should talk to them and give them feedback. Not only are you teaching her how to treat you, but you're teaching the whole team what they can get away with. So I suggest you listen to the Feedback Sandwich episode from September 11th. Just go to the Pete the Job Guy website and scroll down. In that episode, I talked about how to give feedback to someone, how to craft a statement, and how to share with them what your expectations are. So that's a good place to start. But today I want to take a step back and look at how you as a leader contributed to this situation. In essence, we are talking about engagement here, or lack of engagement. The employee here seems to be disengaged. So I want you to look at yourself and see how you could be contributing. So when I think of leadership, I think of two dimensions for effective leadership. And this actually comes from a gentleman named Mark Murphy, who wrote a book, 100% Leadership. One dimension is to what extent are you connecting with that direct report? Have you created an emotional connection? Do you have a relationship with them? Do they know you care about them? So that's one aspect. The second aspect is, to what extent are you challenging them? Are you setting a high bar with them? Are you having them work on things and accomplish things that they themselves didn't think was possible? So both ingredients are necessary to be a good leader. Some leaders challenge their employees to a great extent, but they have no relationship with the individuals. People don't feel like the boss cares about them, so what happens? They eventually burn out. We call these types of bosses intimidators. On the other side of the spectrum, you have bosses who are the friend. They are more concerned that the person's going to like them than getting the work done. Sometimes they end up doing the work themselves because they don't want that person to think badly of them. We call these bosses appeasers. I also like to call it the friend zone. The worst type of leader, I believe, are those who don't challenge their direct reports and those who don't care about them either. They are called avoiders. They're avoiding making a personal connection, and they're avoiding challenging their employees. And the best kinds of bosses are the ones who challenge their employees to do what they didn't think was possible, to stretch and to grow, and the ones who also care personally for each person on the team. They are the leaders. So in this situation, with this individual who is on the internet and turning down work, ask yourself, are you challenging them enough? Do you have a connection with them on a personal level? Are you the intimidator, the appeaser, the avoider, or the leader? And then do something about it, for crying out loud. So those are my tips for today. Back to you, Pete and Aaron. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Coach Larry. More leadership tips that are going to help us to be more effective and productive. So if you're a manager and you want to become a leader, you listen to Coach Larry. Now, this is probably my second, third, or maybe even my fourth favorite part of the show. This is where we're going to have the world famous Aaron Mills with our job report.
Yay! Hey everyone, this is Erin Mills and this is your JOB report. The September unemployment rate dropped to 3.7%, which is the lowest level since September of 1969, which was during the Vietnam War. The two longest sustained periods of sub-4% unemployment came from during the Korean and Vietnam Wars, when the combination of strong growth and the enlistment of young men from the civilian labor force helped to largely wring the unemployment out of the country. The U.S. employers added 134,000 jobs, and the total number of non-farm payroll rose to 1.7% over the past year, a pace that is little unchanged over the past 2 years. A record 96 straight months of gains was recorded. I'm Erin Mills, and this is your JOB Report.
Woo!
Yay!
That's all right. Erin, you know, I'm really liking the show. You know, with Lieutenant Clements
I hope you
coming
do.
on, Larry's part, and then hearing just that, again, our economy is doing so well.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I feel like I'm knowing a lot of people that have, you know, they can't hang out with me because they have to tend to their job. So this is good news for America, bad news for Erin Mills and her after social life.
Do you know, I remember, and, you know, again, I run an employment agency. Mm-hmm. There were times where people couldn't find jobs, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I lived through the Great Depression and all this stuff. I mean, there were times where there just weren't any open jobs. Mm-hmm. Now employers have to change their mindset. Yeah. What can I do to entice people? Because mm-hmm. everyone's working. What can mm-hmm. I do to entice people to come work for me? When I hear about the Navy willing to train people mm-hmm. to give them skills they don't have, that's a key differentiator.
Exactly. I was going to say that, you know, Jacksonville is just the hub of everything Navy. We have how many ports here? So many ships, boats everywhere. And I just feel like if you came to Jacksonville on your own will, then, you know, kudos to you. But you're probably in Jacksonville because your family was in the military. You were stationed here. You were transferred here.
Yeah, there's a large population of folks that came here with the Navy. And mm-hmm. I'm one of them. Yeah. I came from out of Beantown, Boston, Massachusetts. Go Red Sox. Hello. Don't hold that against me, okay? You know what? I'm tired of the hate mail. You know what? I say something about cats. I'm a dog lover versus cat lover. I get hate mail for 3 weeks. It doesn't... Okay, I like the Red Sox. What can I say? But the Navy brought me down here. Mm-hmm. When I joined the Navy and I enlisted in the Navy, there were like boxes to check of what locations would you like to go
to.
Did
you check Jacksonville?
I did. I selected several Florida locations. I wanted to get to warm climate. That was key for me from where I grew up. It's cold. You know, you get like 1 month you can swim. And even then, you know, you dive in the ocean. It's 35 degrees or something in the middle of July. Here it's 80 plus degrees all year round. I mean, it's a different thing. But I wanted a warm weather climate. And I liked the coast. I didn't want to kind of be landlocked. You know, I just grew up in the coast. And lo and behold, I got Florida. You know, they don't guarantee back then. I mean, Lieutenant Clements would be the one to direct this to. But I selected Jacksonville, Florida as one of my potential destinations with the military. And I got it. And I couldn't have been happier.
Yeah.
I love it here.
I need to call him back and ask him that specific question. That's my other question that I need to ask him.
Right. You know, we got a couple updates, Erin. I know we have the JDRF gala that's coming up on November 3rd.
Woo!
Yeah. And, you know, proud sponsors of the event. And I sponsored, an open bar for a while. And I've been known to have fun a little bit. So when I see you at the event, and I want to make sure, go to JDRF and sign up. It's so mm-hmm. easy. You can write JDRF Miracles Gala, North Florida, and Google. You know, Google it up, and it's right there. It'll pull you. And we're going to have all the information on PeteTheJobGuy.com and through our social media. So support the event. And if you can't come out the event, donate. T1D is impacts so many people, mm-hmm. and it takes just a second to get out there and donate. But I'd love to see you at the gala. It's going to be a lot of fun. Any updates from you, Erin? Your wardrobe minimalization thing that you're doing?
Still living on dirty clothes, according to Pete. Still saving the planet. I added a couple of pieces, but I've been switching out. So the one thing that people are scared of is like, 25 pieces, that's too little for me. Can I do another number? So of course you can always do that number. I arbitrarily do 25 pieces and I just need to limit myself because I'm crazy.
Yeah, crazy is right. All right, our guest next week, I think we have Sudeth coming on next week. Is that right? I'm excited about that show. I think the week after we do an Erin takeover.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead. What do you got? Millennial Day.
Millennial Day. Yeah, so still trying to confirm, but we might have plans where Pete's going to be on the back burner and taking over. So stay tuned.
And then we're scheduling the USO is coming on to help military folks that are transitioning into the civilian world and their spouses as well. Mm-hmm. So hey, we got some exciting shows coming up. But guess what? Right here. It's probably my fourth or fifth or perhaps sixth favorite part of this show. This is where we're going to go to Jack's Facts with the world famous Erin Mills.
Yay! Hey, everyone. I'm Erin Mills, and this is your Jack's Facts. So in honor of the Jags again, so last week wasn't our best week, but this week we can pick it up.
Go Jags. Today.
Let's talk about some sports from Jacksonville. Jack's native Bob Haynes is the only man to win an Olympic gold medal and a Super Bowl ring. And also, in 1993, the NFL awarded the 30th franchise team the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Woo-hoo!
They are 25 years old.
Because
I was born in 1993. Anyway, so I'm Erin Mills, and that was your Jack's Facts.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Erin, for the Jack's Facts. You know, I think you're reaching. Some of these you're reaching. Bob Haynes, he played for Dallas. You know, I know he's from Jacksonville. But, you know, I don't think you can ever eclipse the Poosium. And I want regular updates on the Poosium.
They should really pay us for advertising their museum.
I want to say, you know what, just based on you describing it, I'm really tempted to go there. Not.
I think we should take a field trip if you're being serious.
Right.
So, Pete, I have a question.
Uh-oh, you going into mailbag?
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, mailbag.
This is a really good question.
All right,
okay. Not going to say their name. It looks like they disclosed their real name. But the question is it okay to look for new jobs without my boss knowing?
Oh, boy.
Ba-ba-da-bum.
This is always interesting. And I'm going to answer this question, but I'm going to tell everybody. Anytime you have a workforce-related question, you need career advice, you can always go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. You know, you can email me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com, and ask your question. I promise you, we will answer your question on the air unless it is disgusting. And we've had some moderately disgusting questions. Can I cook my tuna in the microwave in the office? What do I do when my coworker smells?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've had some different questions. Now, this one they're asking, should I tell my boss if I'm looking for another job?
Yeah, I guess that's exactly the question.
All right. Here's the way I handle this is, you know, you always have a responsibility to yourself and to your family. Mm-hmm. If you walk in and tell your boss, hey, I'm looking for another job, and then you change your mind, the cat's out of the bag, right? Mm-hmm. The genie, you can't put the genie back in the bottle or the cat in the bag or whatever the saying is. And what I say is, while you're employed, you have to do your very best for your employer. Mm-hmm. Your name's not on the sign outside. You're getting a paycheck from somebody. Somebody's paying it. And you owe that person, that company, your very best. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've made a decision, people leave jobs for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want looking for a job that's closer to home to minimize their commute. They want better benefits or higher pay. Or perhaps they don't get along with their coworkers or their bosses this and that. And they've made a decision to leave. Okay, they don't have to disclose that decision, okay, because it could put their career in peril there, right there.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of folks, most Americans, can't go for an interruption in their pay. Mm-hmm. You know, if their money is such that I make X per week, I spend X per week, okay? Mm-hmm. Most Americans spend right up to what they make. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they get a raise, they go buy something that's brighter and newer and shinier and prettier. That's just the way we're geared to be. So in order to minimize the potential for that interruption, my answer is you don't have to disclose that to your employer, but you owe them your best from buzzer to buzzer.
That's correct. And I think we spoke to this last week when we said it is critical to put in that 2 weeks once you do find that new job that you want to go to so that you can cross-train, leave all the knowledge that you have with somebody else and that they can learn up your position.
You know, and I'm glad you said that, too, because there's a lot of people that think, why would I give 2 weeks' notice?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, you know what? The interruption in work is tough for an employer, you know, and it is customary. And your new position, and if you just step in and walk out to a new position, oh, I can start tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, aren't you going to give notice? They might be thinking about, you know, you're inconsiderate or, you know, you're putting
your current employer in a bind by not giving that notice. Somebody's got to do the work. Mm-hmm. Unless you were just there taking up space and drawing a paycheck for doing nothing, then it's no problem. You don't mm-hmm. have to give notice. But if you were performing some essential functions of your job, mm-hmm. somebody's got to pick up that slack.
Exactly.
And rather than leave that employer in a bind, you always give 2 weeks. I'm glad you brought that up. What else we got in that mail bag right
sure.
there? You got another question.
So many new questions. Okay, so some of these are just really funny. Okay, here's one. I just got out of high school with a good SAT test score. Can a staffing company help me land my first office gig?
Okay, right.
Got young people listening.
Yeah,
this is interesting.
Well, it was great. I mean, I'm a little bit surprised, but
yeah.
you know, that's an interesting question. Listen, you know, if you get out of high school, there's a job for you.
Yeah.
You know, again, unemployment right now nationally is, I think you said, 3.7%. Mm-hmm. That means it's like essentially zero for people that actually want to join the workforce. Mm-hmm. There's a certain population that are chronically unemployed, mm-hmm. so they're always going to skew the numbers. They don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
If this person wants to work, there is a job for that person. Mm-hmm. But if you got a good SAT score, you know, and you have the means to pay for college, mm-hmm. I would consider, you know, going to college.
Yeah.
I would also consider joining the military.
Yeah.
Too.
That's
like
true.
Me. Mm-hmm. I had good scores. I just didn't have the cashola.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the bankroll to mm-hmm. pay for college. And I wasn't really familiar with, you know, the student loans and mm-hmm. all that. It wasn't a path that I knew a ton about. I joined the Navy, and the Navy paid 75% of my tuition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't have had it any better. While I'm learning a trade and learning about life, traveling all around the world,
mm-hmm.
I got my college paid for, you know, and still when I probably work 55 hours a week while I was in the Navy, and you know, college, night, school, weekends. They approved me to leave a little bit early to go to my school or to be off duty on a weekend. I got a 3.98 in my major. I made dean's list every semester. My overall
wow.
GPA was 3.38 when I graduated.
Yeah,
I know. Go ahead and say it. Chronic overachiever. But you know, the Navy did that for me mm-hmm. and made that available. So this person that's asking, can I join the workforce with a good SAT score? Sure, you can.
Yeah.
But you know, you might want to seek, you know, consider all your options.
Yeah,
you know,
so many options. Yep. And along with the Navy and college, there's also vocational school. I think I read an article the other day talking about how it's become a routine for students to go to high school and then go directly into college when vocational jobs like, I don't know, some plumbers out there or...
there's a ton.
The
come
welding,
on.
The welding.
The welding. Listen to you. The welding. No, you could be an electrician, a plumber,
there
framer.
You
can be a roofer.
Yeah, isn't your brother
you know,
an electrician?
My brother is a master electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, he has a big crumb. Mike Langlois, I am so doggone proud of you. You know, he went a different path than mm-hmm. I went, but he's a hard worker.
Exactly.
You know, he is a really, really, really hard worker. He did an apprenticeship for a year as an electrician. And after he did his and at time, he was going to school too mm-hmm. to get certified and all this stuff. And then he became a master electrician in two states. He's got a crew under him that he's had for many
That's
years.
Crazy.
He's done well for himself. I'm just so proud. It's a totally different path
mm-hmm.
than the path I went on,
yeah.
right? But the destination is still the same. He's had a fulfilling mm-hmm. Career as a tradesman and
yeah.
an electrician, and he's
so,
a good businessman.
Yeah, and I was going to say what it all boils down to is having that hard work ethic, being a hard worker and making sure that, you know, if this is a path that you follow through and you follow through hard, and if you decide that it's not for you, then you need to go find another path and follow through hard and just keep going at it and keep grinding. So
right.
that's
and then the other part, when Lieutenant Clements said today, mm-hmm. like, you know, he went the enlisted route mm-hmm. on the GI Bill, went to college, paid for his college and gave mm-hmm. him a stipend while he was there.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
It's fantastic. And then after that, that strong sense of, you know, of duty.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do something for my country. Drew him right back in, and he mm-hmm. came in down a different career path for the Navy than the one he started. It's
exactly.
kind of it's exciting, and it really keeps up with. And I think about what Lori mm-hmm. Said from Everbank
gym.
TIAA mm-hmm. when Lori Day said your career is like a climbing a rock wall.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you know you don't always just climb straight up like a ladder. Sometimes you climb up. You have to climb back down, go to the side, and then climb back up again to get to your destination. It's interesting. That, to me, that was the best analogy ever.
But it's so true. I mean, you got to take two steps back to take one big leap forward.
Right, right. I want to remind everybody, if the person sitting next to you is a hard worker, maybe comes in a little early, stays late, or just gives it that little extra mojo every day to get the job done, I want you to nominate that person. Go to Pete the Job Guy, and you, there's, I think you have a click nominate button, and they can nominate, just nominate that person and say, this person is a hard worker because they do this. That's all. I'll either call them up personally, or we're going to give you a certificate and give you a Pete the Job Guy t-shirt. So that you can represent. It says right on the back, certified hard worker.
Josh is wearing one today. It looks super good.
Josh, our producer, is sitting right. He surprised us, showed up in a Pete the Job Guy shirt. Woohoo! But I want to make sure people write in. You know, there's a lot of great things on our social media and Insta. You have a bunch of different, what do you call them, folders?
Stories, or, highlights.
You got clips of the Pete dancing. Yeah. You got our IGTV
stuff.
Some
tips on there about jobs. Everything that we talk about on the show, we usually feature it on our Instagram. So make sure that you're following Pete the Job Guy. That's @, not the hashtag, @ Pete the Job Guy on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever else you have.
Right. All the stuff that you take care of. Guys, if you are looking for that next step in your professional career and you want to talk to a professional recruiter, you want to go to SNI Companies here in Jacksonville, the 904. And SNI Companies is comprised of several different, very specialized divisions. You have Staffing Now that places administrative, clerical, marketing, HR people on a temporary or temp-to-perm basis, and they also do some direct hire. We have our Accounting Now division. It's made up of accountants that place accountants so it can talk your language. They place people on a temporary, temp to perm. And on a perm or direct hire basis, we have SNI Financial, and Virginia will be happy to take care of you in that division. Ben Cusson runs SNI Technology here for us in town, and Ben is a techie. If you want to get granular and talk really, you know, about coding or network engineering, Ben can answer your questions or he can talk the language. He's not a salesperson with the, you know, real tight handshake and a shiny shoes and a big smile, although he's a good-looking guy. But Ben is a guy that knows how to fill technology positions. You know, we have teams, S&I Banking. So everybody's specialized here, and we swim in very narrow channels at S&I Companies. We're not placing nurses one day, trying our hand at light industrial, dabbling in technology, and now I'm going to replace your admin. It doesn't work that way. We're specialty providers, and we're happy to help you. You can go to snicompanies.com, see all our open jobs that we have, see if there's something that you'd like to talk to a recruiter about. You can always reach us at 904-713-2550. 904-713-2550. Heck, if you want to reach out to me directly, call that number and say, I want to talk to Pete the Job Guy. That guy's a knucklehead, but I know he can help me, and I'm happy to help. We're part of GEE Group, and you can look at our ticker symbol on the New York Stock Exchange. It's J-O-B. Guys, we've had a great show. As always, I want to thank Coach Larry for giving us another fantastic leadership lesson. I want to thank Lieutenant Jason Clements. He's given us all something to think about this Sunday morning. And he's going to come in as a recurring guest to talk about the United States Navy and the many features and benefits of joining that you can take advantage of. I want to thank my co-host, the world-famous Aaron Mills.
You're welcome.
Meow. And I want you, all you hard workers, to go out there and get them this week.